the metaphor of alchemy. It seems that other metals and other minerals, other natural resources from the earth have been synthesized, or they've replaced it with other things. But gold seems to be irreplaceable.
I don't know. What
doesn't replaced? Rust.
What got replaced?
Oh, like, they've synthesized things to perform the functions of certain minerals in medicine. You know,
okay.
But it doesn't do an adequate job, but that's what they seem to be able to create, replacements for natural products. The same with like metals, like alloys of steel and that.
Where but organic products have replacements.
Gold seems to be
synthetic.
Yeah, and gold seems to be special in that it doesn't rust, it can't be replicated. Its properties can't be replicated.
But in replication, are you talking about they make a healthy chocolate bar? Is that what you're saying, about something's replaced?
Yeah, that's an example where instead of using cocoa, they replace it with carob. They'll find a replacement.
Oh, okay. So what's that mean? What's that got to do with gold?
Well, that's
nothing
when I was... When I was talking about it, it's it's finite, that there's only a certain amount. That's when the kind of the direction I went is it's not replaceable. It's not, you can't use anything in place of gold because of its properties.
If you use it in place, would you make more of it? It would be more gold because it got substituted. It doesn't connect, but.
If you could replace it with something similar that functioned in the same way that gold does.
Yeah. What's that got to do with the supply of gold?
Then gold would lose its value. So maybe that's where.
Yeah, but there'd still be a finite amount of gold. That's what we're talking about.
Right. You can't make more of it. You can't make more of it.
But you're talking about replacing. Why are you talking about
my point was maybe that's what Ion was meaning about it being there's only a limited amount of gold. Because you can't make more, you can't use anything else in place of it.
Okay, so there's more silver because you can make more carbon that is the same as silver, but it's not silver, but it replaces silver. And so you add it to the supply, nothing gets
like
added
titanium
to the supply.
Or
Yeah, that doesn't
I don't know.
Replace. If you see, you have the weirdest mind, Gene. There's some. Your mind's broken. You never get something clear about what the hell you're talking about. I think you've got half of your past ideas, half of Bob's ideas, or a third. The third Ion ideas, and you haven't figured out. And you're just lopsiding around the old stuff to the new stuff to the middle stuff.
Hey, that's the best explanation. For whatever malady it might be. I like the
explanation. You've got some kind of confusion going on. Yeah, I think you're a victim of information overload. No, okay, Bert, do you know what I'm talking about? Jean never knows what she's talking about. When she starts talking and asking a question or something, she gets all bottled up. You ever notice that?
Yes. Yes, especially when you question her. Then she gets kind of...
Yeah, I can make her... You have
well,
done
here
well
I
at
feel...
different points. With
Ion. Here I have.
You've
here
done well
I've,
with Ion, just so you don't get all fucking inferior. You a couple times you brought out some good shit from Ion, but often you do right now what you're doing. I don't know what the hell you're trying to say. You're bringing it about replacing. Look, what about finite gold? How come there's no more? How come if you mine some, you haven't found any new? So he's talking about some finite amount in the earth.
Right. Yes.
And you can't make any, you can't replace it because you don't replace it with gold. So the replacing factor doesn't fit, I don't think, what we're talking about.
No, but I just found a note. I found a note at the beginning of this year, January 7th, but I have to go back and look. So January 7th, I had that you and I were talking about carbon affects gold. But I've got to go and actually listen to the January 7th to see what they were talking about. But yeah, I'm going to look at that gold thing because that is really strange. That's,
yeah.
I mean, to hear that this finite gold.
I'm trying to figure out I don't think gold applies anymore other than for industry, but somebody thought way back there in the medieval times, I got all this gold, I have something. Everybody else has got money, then the crashes, they don't have money, they don't have food, but I got gold. And everybody said, holy shit, look at all the gold he's got. Well, what did they use it for back then? What was valuable about it? Did they make cups out of it? Like, I don't get what was...
Well, it's always described as very unique in its properties. It doesn't rust. You know, there's...
Okay, maybe
I can't
that's
list
it.
Of all
that. I didn't know that. Okay.
And that was
looks,
my point.
It stays constant. Now, that might look... That might impress people over a long time. But... It's nutty, though. It's little man relying on bullshit. Okay, I got a lot of gold. I'm cool. You know, you guys will be impressed. I have a lot of gold. Okay, you want some of my gold? You got to give me all your sheep, you know, or something. It fucking business was odd for a little man.
Yeah, I remember listening to you talk one time about gold, Bob, and you said you didn't understand it, but you would put it in a museum. Put all the gold in the museum. Maybe that's why Ian always says the truckloads of gold coming to Bob. Because I remember.
Right,
I don't,
no, that's
I,
what I said. Yeah,
you put it
I
in the
knew,
museum.
It, all the gold's coming to me. And at one point, I probably said, why? He says, because you don't give a fuck. You're the most indifferent to gold, Bob. So you deserve it. Because you're not going to do anything with it. It's useless. So yeah, we put it in a museum. And you know, if gold
that.
Was good as a semiconductor right now, if we make stuff or someone else invents something in 50 years, it doesn't need gold to make a really good semiconductor or something that's better than semiconductors. So gold only shines for 50 years when industry can use it before they invent better stuff. So it's not even fucking useful on that level, only for a short time.
Yeah, it's just very interesting.
That's what I always said in 2008 when there was a collapse and everybody was talking about buying gold. You know, when the people are fear of collapse, they got to buy gold because that'll retain its value. But I had always said, you know, why would you buy gold? You can't even make a shovel out of it, you know, to dig the earth and plant plants because it's too soft. You can't do anything with gold that's useful.
You know, I think the tribal people, The Incas, them, they had no value for gold, and the Spaniards did, and they took all the gold, and the natives didn't understand why they thought there was gold. But gold is only real in visual space. When you've been abstracted into money and credit and the weird visual space, then gold in that context has importance. But before visual space and after visual space, it has no relevance. So the Spanish thought it was important because they had a visual space banking framework to put it in. But the Aztecs, I don't think, thought gold was nothing. I don't know what they did with it, but it was not significant. They didn't care that it was taken away.
Yeah.
You
know,
gold
that's funny
comes
cause...
in with...
Go ahead,
yeah,
Bob.
Go ahead.
No, it's funny because when I've been hearing a lot with you know what we've discussed on the show about Bitcoin, but I've never really – I don't have an opinion because I don't know what it is because I have like a child's mind as far as money. And last night in one of my fatty rants to some guy at this party, he was talking about, what about Bitcoin? And I said, hey, look here. You cannot go buy ice cream with Bitcoin, so why are you putting so much value on it? And he looked at me like I had eight heads, you know. And I said, really? I mean, I have a simple thing about mine about money. I said, you cannot go out and buy ice cream with Bitcoin. So
what
is
you'd
the fuss?
Have to find a store that recognizes Bitcoin, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then with one coin,
yeah, I don't know who's
17...
recognizing Bitcoin. Who's recognizing? It's a bunch of people who are just among themselves are recognizing it. And they're trying to translate it into our world. They want us to fucking recognize it. They say, look at this. One little bit costs $17,000, man. Look, we're fucking valuable. We're going to fuck you. That's nothing valuable.
Right.
We got the drops. You can fucking raise it, make $1 million Bitcoin. You know, they're trying to get it over to our world, I think.
Hey, I don't know. I don't know.
I just never took
there's...
any material stuff fucking value. Nothing's valuable to me. Never,
no,
nothing's
it's...
ever been valuable. Only in the long run have I grown to really appreciate Zappa I like McLuhan. I like the Holy Offices. They're valuable. They give me something to engage. Maybe because they question the role of gold and all these stupid things that people find impressive. I don't find anything impressive.
Well, that's the difference between RNA drops and gold and Bitcoin, Bob, because Bitcoin sounds more and more like gold to me. If, you know, you get this imaginary bit, and, you know, with the gold, you just get a piece of paper that says you own gold. Everybody says, make sure you get the gold in hand, but nobody gets the gold bars mailed to them. They have a piece of paper that says,
right,
I own this much gold. Well, Bitcoin isn't much farther away from that.
Than that.
Yeah. And the drops have, they will become more and more consistently valuable. They will increase. They will never lessen.
Yeah, I'm glad to have invented that stuff. Or, you know, be part of the process that made the drops. If it's as good as it appears to be, this is the most incredible fucking invention ever. This is the philosopher's stone that everybody was looking for.
Yep. Yeah. We'll be able to buy a million suits with RNA drops in the future.
I don't want a million suits. I want to feel good. So the drops are the only valuable thing. And the Remag, our products, are the only valuable thing. And I wouldn't, I don't think I'd like living if I didn't have them.
Yeah, and we'll all be running around naked by then anyway, so.
I don't know about that. You will be, Gene. You'll be so fucking nuts by then. You'll be so confused. One-third the past, one-third Bob knowledge, and one-third Ion knowledge. Who knows what kind of mind you're going
to
have?
I want to explain something, Bob, because here I get to speculate free form. I've never had any inhibitions.
Maybe that's what it is.
All of my confusion. Is that what comes to my head? I say, well, what about this? What do you think about this, Bob?
Maybe
this is what I was thinking. Yeah, I don't.
Well, wait, what are you saying, Bert? What is
that,
what she's doing?
That she speculates. Like when she asks you a question, and it's like what you said, maybe it's her past. She just comes up top of her head and says, ask a question. But she's speculating. Instead of she really thinking a question, what she wants to know is maybe some of her past leaking into the question she asked. And she's speculating why she questions. And then it doesn't come out.
Yeah, you're interrupting your...
It's
you're all,
yeah.
The past would be you worrying about what people thought about certain ideas or something.
No,
Bert.
It's not... No, I am not intending to necessarily be coherent with all of these new ideas and thoughts that get discussed here. You know,
yeah,
the new angle.
You're confusing it because when I say you got the past... Your old fear-based concerns come in.
Yes. Well, no. In this past example, I was using the old definition of alchemy. And you corrected me immediately. No, it's not that anymore, Gene. And that threw me off. It's like, oh, crap. Well, you know, that screws up my whole statement now.
That's right. You're misinformed. So we have to stop that question.
So you're right. I'm a third and a third and a third. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you throw me off, and then I can't go on. And then I make no sense.
And I just happened to listen to it the other day, you know, for the first time since then, 8 years. And I just learned that. I'd forgotten what it said. Because Roxy's going on about alchemy every fucking video, right? So I said, there's probably something about alchemy. She doesn't know. So I went and listened to them. And, they're not – at all the alchemy she's talking about. She's talking about traditional alchemy, which is all a bunch of bullshit, I think. I mean, it's pretty amazing. People buy the alchemy test tapes, and they think they're going to get some traditional amazing stuff about Fucinelli or Merlin or something. And Ian's talking, I don't even know what he was talking about. He's talking about nothing and learning how to be with nothing. That was the alchemy. For someone who doesn't have any faith in Ion, it's a rip-off, that tape. He tells you nothing about regular alchemy. He just tells you to relax and allow. But on another level, that's really original. If nobody ever did fucking made thing into gold and it's all mythology, then he dealt with what's the most important thing. The most important thing in your life is ascension, which is something you don't know about and you're not sure if you're ever going to figure it out, but that's what you should be focused on.
Yes. Yes. Hey, Bob, I got to cut out now, buddy.
Okay, well, thanks for staying in for this part. I'll just say one last thing.
Thanks again, Bert.
I take life seriously. And I think Roxy takes life seriously. Like, she doesn't give a fuck about anything. If Ian's telling her stuff, she's going to study it and figure it out, you know? That's the way I am.
Yeah.
I take being seriously. And most people are fucking interrupting with fucking, what's that guy doing? That's stupid stuff. That's my complaint about humans. They're out mowing their lawn, washing their dishes, fucking buying groceries. Fuck that shit, man.
Well, that's why I said I was mutated. That's why I said I was mutated, because I don't feel like talking like the normal stuff that people talk about, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm being exposed to this information that I'm like, okay, I will try to be emphatic. I will discuss and talk and things, but I'm always looking for an angle to throw a little ionic thing in there, but they don't hear it.
To make it interesting for yourself. You're looking for a way to make the stupid mundane thing a little interesting. Right. Yeah, that's what I do.
Because television...
You never had to do that before, did you?
No, I didn't. But I found it. That's what maybe that's why at the conclusion of me getting ready to go, I understand why I was fatty, because I'm like, okay, I want to make the conversation interesting to see if they can talk with what I'm exposed to. But the information that you've disclosed, Bob, from your five bodies to all the way to Ion, to even if you try to do the basic of Dr. Dean's completing formulas, it's so way above everything else that you have to give people bits and pieces and they don't even take it to make the conversation interesting but I mean, I'll continue to do it to try to get an interesting conversation, but everything is just so human, like, you know, football, Harry.
Yeah. Don't get upset if you fail. You only have to talk to them for a short while.
No, I'm not. But it was interesting for me just to be able to do it, because before I would be like Ebenezer Grinch and just wanting to punch people in the head. You know?
Like on the boat yesterday, one of these guys really dug my dancing. Later, the music had died down and I was just standing looking over. So he comes over and I had to spend like 25 minutes listening about his 30 years of living on Maui. And I just was polite. I just listened to his life story. He wanted to tell me I was significant to him. I had energy or something, you know. And so I just listened to this fucking guy. And then at some point he said, oh, I got to go. So luckily I didn't want to, you know, become a friend. I didn't want to give him my email or something. And I didn't have to, because all of a sudden he decided he had to go. So that was good. I got out of it. I didn't have to end it with any future connection. But, I just put up with it.
Yeah.
I acted interested.
Yes. Yes.
It's not, I mean, there's nothing else to do on the boat. You know, I'm just fucking looking around, waiting for the whale that ain't going to come. I'm only here for the family, you know, family obligations, you know.
Right. Okay, Bob.
Okay, well,
see you all next week. Talk to you all next week.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot for your contributions, Bert.
Thanks a lot for everything.
Okay.
Guys. Talk to you next week.
Thanks. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, I think this thing is 35 minutes or something. We better start it now. We only got 40 minutes left, so I'm going to start the medical thing. Okay, Gene? Okay. Well,
yep.
We mute everybody. Mute all.
All participants are now muted.
Maybe this is only 26 minutes. It's not an hour. It's not way under an hour. Okay.
This is session number 29 for Bob and Carolyn, recorded on May 4th, 2009 at 7:16 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good morning. 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
And actually, I'm going to start off the session tonight, Ion, with bedwetting.
Very good.
So,
do you want your questions?
Yes, please give me the sentence that has to do with bedwetting, why it occurs.
Okay. Now, are you talking about the specific degree of incontinence? Or if you're talking about with little fellows when they're wet the bed.
Little fellows when they're wet the bed. We'll start there.
First off, here's what happens. As they mature and they grow, they have the ability to consume more fluids.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And that fluid consumption, specifically what you call pop,
mm-hmm.
that's something that they grow into the place of liking.
Mm-hmm.
sugary, fizzy pop.
Yeah.
Not Pellegrino, that's a little too complex, but just when they're consuming more, what happens is they have the ability in their digestional tract to consume more fluids.
Mm-hmm.
And as they consume more fluids, sometimes it gets ahead of the development of their bladders.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is they consume more fluid than their bladder is able to hold as it's growing. And so therefore it presents itself in the degree or a disconnection of relaxing in that it flows, meaning as that urethra can't be distended. Now, men folks have that when they wake up with what is called, well, we don't know a nice way to say it, but it's like a piss hard.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning they have a distended erection in the morning time, which allows the prostate, as it is enlarged, to cut off that flow of urine.
Mm.
So that's why they're typically right amorous first thing in the morning. Well, see, little fellows hadn't quite developed that part yet. And they can consume, as they grow and mature, they can consume more fluids than they can hold in their bladder.
Mm-hmm.
Once that happens, it's almost like a tipping over effect. So the only solution at that point is it to release.
Mm-hmm.
If they're perfectly relaxed in their bed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how you handle that, you can do that from a standpoint, or are you asking for a correction?
Yes, a correction would be wonderful, please.
Very good. Okay, if they're not so fond of this, but the way to handle it is if they can consume a small quantity of what you call a grape juice.
Mm-hmm.
The tannins in the grape juice help that whole process of enlarging or dilating the bladder, helps it to grow. And then another fun choice that also is very, very effective is an hour before bedtime. If they could consume 4 ounces of what you call a cranberry juice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't really prefer the ones that are so sugary.
Mm-hmm.
But they make a cranberry juice that's kind of like normal, but none of them taste especially good.
Mm.
And what happens is if they can consume that cranberry juice, it makes for a good filtration process. And then they're able to empty their bladder pretty completely before bedtime.
I see. Mm-hmm.
But the short version, what that's all about is that they're able to consume more fluids then their bladder has grown to meet that amount of quantity.
Very good. Very good. And we talked about the little fellers. How about big fellers?
Well, big fellers incontinence is not such a big deal, but typically it has to do with an enlarged prostate in which they kind of lose control after it becomes a point of getting up in the night. Go urinate, go urinate, go urinate, or stopping and starting in the stream, which is kind of a problem because they feel that it's pressure. That happens from that in the, well, basically how you reach it is through the colon or the rectum. It's where you reach that as it enlarges. See, it puts pressure, which allows that sometimes to cause a degree of incontinence because the pressure builds up and they basically releases before they have the ability to wake up and know that, you know, they've had a lot to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Scotch has that effect also sometimes if you have too much of it. You're so full of sleep that it, the diuretic part of many of the alcohol it dries you out, but sometimes can set on a little onset of a degree of incontinence.
Mm-hmm.
But typically it's not like full out, you know, like you're all over the place more. It's like a little leaking a little bit.
Okay, yes. Okay, good. And actually, it's right beside it here, bladder infections. Let's talk about them in terms of women, because that tends to be...
Okay. They're typically not bladder infections. Typically what they are is urinary UTIs, urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
Through the labia, it comes in that format. Now, oh my God, I hate to say the magnesium word, and I hate worse to say the yeast word, and I hate worse to say all those things that are catchwords, but actually what that is all about is when the fallopian tubes, which are very close to all that workings of the ovaries and how they come down, when there's an imbalance of it's the ovarian progesterone. Is that the right word, progesterone?
Yes, progesterone is the hormone that's released by the ovarian eggs that are...
Precisely.
Yeah.
Once that comes into a place, sometimes those have an innate capacity to have a degree of enlargement.
Yes, yeah.
If they have had a partial, I keep wanting to say DNC, but it's not a DNC, it's a hysterectomy, where they have removed the uterus, but they've left the ovaries intact. Because you really, really want to do that because of the production of estrogen, see, because, you know, it keeps the women folks kind of in balance.
Yeah.
So they'll still go through the change, but the flashing that goes along with that whole process and the loss of male life in their household sometimes is more balanced if they have their ovaries as long as they can.
The loss of what?
Life.
Yes.
Women in the change murder their husbands.
Yes.
Because they need to die.
Yeah, got it. Okay.
And sometimes those whole processes, as they become a distended or enlarged, okay, that seems to have a degree of blocking.
What now, become distended and enlarged, I'm sorry?
The fallopian tubes and or the ovaries if they're cycling. Even if they're that stage of life when they're not, you know, you don't have cycles anymore, which is some people stop early and some people stop way late. But regardless, depending on the process of that change, sometimes those, all that inside part becomes a bit distended. And if it does, with an absence or an increase of progesterone, then what happens is it puts pressure on the bladder. Now, we're not talking about ladies when they get to laughing so hard that they pee their pants. That's different. That's just the whole joyful bliss of losing control, you see. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a light degree of incontinence, meaning that it's not like spotting, it's like they just wet a little bit. Kind of thing, of course, losing control. It's not like just completely I peed my pants and I didn't know it, you see. But sometimes as those become distended, it puts pressure on the bladder. Now, another thing that has a great deal of effect on this same thing is a increased level of cortisol.
How's that?
When you look at women folks that are the pear shape.
Yes.
What you call pear shape. And they have there's no sweet way to say this, but when they have the belly. Not so much the thigh, or we're not talking about cellulite and that kind of stuff. You know, we're talking about the big belly.
Yeah.
The cortisol, where it builds that in that level, that also has a tendency to add more pressure on the ball. Because of the way the bladder is all attached to everything, sometimes that belly can actually make more pressure.
Right, yes, exactly, okay.
And that pressure then can also sort of, it's almost like it turns upside down, or it turns to a point where it releases, and you can't help it.
Yeah.
Because you don't have that control.
Okay.
Now, those of a virginal state don't ever have that place because everything is all tightened together and not so enjoyed. Maybe is that the right way to say it? I don't know a nice way to say that, so we'll just sort of say it like that. But those in that place, you see, come into the place of not necessarily having that transitional position. As time goes on, what happens is the bladder does not shrink, but there's only a finite amount of space.
Uh-huh.
So as you fill that with other things,
mm-hmm.
and also when the uterine wall starts to thin,
mm-hmm.
that's what also can make that extra amount of pressure. So that, well, sometimes if it's a light, simple thing, they just use like a protective pad or a, mm-hmm. you know, like a garment type thing in case they get caught in that place. But it's not like they have to cap theirself or anything like that.
So you're saying it's mostly mechanical. The focus that I'm looking for in these reviews is if there's a non-physical or an emotional or some sort of state that people get into to allow this to happen.
Well, there's not much of a disconnect.
Yes.
The only disconnection that comes from that whole process is if they have issue with their stage and change of life.
Mm-hmm.
But see, and you can do that, but there are people that are in their 60s that still have a cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, but then there are folks in their late 40s that stop altogether and start that whole change. Mm-hmm. So to draw that parallel, you'd have to come to the place of when that whole stage of life changes, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of difficult to go from that aspect, because mm-hmm. it just is what it is. But that whole process of the biological function is that not aligning with the changes
mm-hmm. yeah.
in your life. And yeah. here's where it shows up much, much, much more often than that, especially women folks in that verge of change. They typically have this huge issue with constipation.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense because they eat the rubbish, they do the stuff, they do the Stairmaster, they do all the stuff that they're supposed to do. But just something about the way that all hooks together, they'll go 3 days and not go. And, you know, they're pretty miserable. That also can have a play in that whole distension process.
Yes.
Because it seems to happen in the small intestine rather than the large. So it's not like that you can do something to make you go,
mm-hmm.
you see. And sometimes, well, they get into the Miralax and, oh, my God, they get into all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the answer because it shuts off everything else.
But, well, that's where they need their magnesium.
Well, fair enough. And sometimes if they can do, sometimes the stool softener helps get things to flow. It doesn't put all the extra water in the bowel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you don't do that, anything that doesn't do that is very appropriate. But what they feel like the disconnection is, it's kind of like a 50-year-old house.
Mm.
Sometimes you have issues with the plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're using it. And you don't have to. You see, you don't have to. But what they use as the excuse or the disconnection is their body is changing. And in that changing, then sometimes the water closet gets stopped up.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the sewage lines leak a little.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it doesn't have a proper flow. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's all about those hormones that are constantly readjusting and balancing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a great deal of control over that because you come into the place where you actually control those balanced hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Even if your hormones are out of whack, you can compensate for those and go, well, I'm having a hot flash, so I'll adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And many men are very, very cold in their houses because mm-hmm. there is no place of cool once they come into that flushed state of flashing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very nice. So that's the disconnection there. That's a very nice analogy. And I realize with the incontinence with the little guys, I don't know if we got the sentence of a possible disconnection there, or is that mainly a mechanical situation?
Well, there can be a disconnection, but it's not so much the obvious. Mm-hmm. For example, little girls really don't have much of that problem.
But they get bladder infections.
Right, but they all have a bigger problem of wetting their pants in the daytime. Mm-hmm. They don't quite have the same degree, as they seem to grow and mature faster.
Mm-hmm.
So the nighttime is not so much an issue, really,
mm-hmm.
as compared to little boys.
Mm-hmm.
But they would be, gotta go, the potty's not close enough, I can't wait, I gotta go, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they only have a certain degree of control.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens more in the daytime. But sometimes that disconnect could be, you know, you're too old for this, we've talked about this, you gotta do this, and then it becomes a way to get attention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Meaning, as they know, they learn, if they're thirsty, see, they're growing, so they're thirsty, so they drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if they're getting proper attention, or if this becomes happens and is the case, and it's no big deal,
mm-hmm.
meaning it's explained that it's just a biological thing that goes along, and maybe we can do a rubber sheet, or maybe we can do an extra garment to give you a little hands-on help with this process as you're maturing, and there's no big deal, then what happens is it's a short 2-3 month process,
mm-hmm.
and then it's over. But you make a big disconnect from the parent
mm-hmm.
to the child,
mm-hmm.
and then it can go on up until they're 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it depends on that level of degree of disconnect from the typically father-son relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not so much mama-son.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically father-son.
Okay.
And if it is an issue with little girls, then it's mama-daughter disconnect.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's very strangely weird how that seems to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a perfect science, meaning what if there's only one parent, you know, mm-hmm. the other one? Well, then that can then show up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning if the father's absent, that can cause the bedwetting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then that connection or disconnection from the whole family unit thing, which is a very wonderful thing. Now, it's not the end-all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take 100 examples and you get 100 situations.
Mm-hmm.
It can be not mama or daddy, it can be grandma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How does that work? Because when you flip to the next generation, then it's not grandfather, grandchild, it's grandmother, grandson.
Ah.
It flips.
Uh-huh. Ah.
Which is very interesting. So, you know, you have 100 units, you're going to have 100 scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But those disconnects are not about anything other than the physical process of your bladder growing,
mm-hmm.
catching up to your new wanting of consumption of fluids,
mm-hmm.
and if that happens and it doesn't get worked out, then it becomes a disconnection for attention.
Yeah. Excellent.
And sometimes fear. Sometimes it'll be an onset. Let's say there's marital trouble,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they don't divorce or split or whatever, we don't even know, but that's mm-hmm. stuff that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that can be a fear-driven
mm-hmm.
way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually not a disconnection, it's a connection.
Mm. Okay.
And that's why we use it. That's why there wasn't a sentence for disconnection, because sometimes it's actually a connection.
Yeah. Very good.
Until it catches itself up.
Right. Now, I did ask about bladder infections, but then we did go into female incontinence. Is there something you can give me describing bladder infections in? And it's more little girls and young women that get bladder infections.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
But how that normally shows up, especially in little girls, not little girls, they don't get bladder infections.
Right, no.
The larger, once they're starting to come into this new change, they've all been set up that they're going to begin in their cycle. Very interesting. Used to, both girls didn't cycle until they were 15, 16. Mm-hmm. Now they're cycling at 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's all been moved forward, that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, back in the olden days, folks might get married when they were 12, but they didn't have children for many, many years as they grew and came into their womanhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to ovulate and or, you know, bear children.
Mm-hmm.
So the process then from these UTIs come from sometimes from this high drama of your body is in the process of going through changes.
Mm-hmm.
At any time there's an increase when breasts start developing, when things start developing, what happens is it's that increase. It basically runs on a sweeter fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Or higher octane,
mm-hmm.
and that sometimes can very easily build up extra ketones in the urine,
mm-hmm.
and that ketone increase is just sweetening or the extra proteins in the urine.
Yeah.
So basically, you're sweeter, and it feeds
yeah.
those urinary tract infections.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very, very rare to have a bladder infection.
Yes, yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can get it, but that ain't coming from the UTI.
Mm-hmm.
That's coming from something else. That's from the folks who have to cap themselves or have foreign
yeah.
inside parts.
Good point, yeah.
Now, sometimes when women folks come into their sexualness,
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if they have a mate who actually understands and figures out the what you call the G-spot,
mm-hmm.
sometimes that gushing of fluid
mm-hmm.
in that whole process, and boy, we just lost Bob altogether, but once you come into that place, mm-hmm. I mean, you could lose up to a half a liter of fluid.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you get it just right.
Mm-hmm.
Once you come into that place, once that release happens, if you get very normal, if that becomes normal, sometimes you can have a larger capacity of a urinary tract infection, which could come into the stem of the bladder. But it actually shows up more times than not as a kidney infection,
mm-hmm.
which is much more normal.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be in the form of a bladder infection. If that channel of expression of orgasm is open to such a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If men folks would have taken the time to learn that, they'd keep their brides forever.
So what is the fluid that's gushing? Is that vaginal secretions?
No, it's actually a form of urine.
Yeah.
It releases it completely in that G spot. It comes to such a place where it actually opens. Mm-hmm. It opens that flow. Just as you teach your children, well, maybe not, but you should, after they have orgasm, they should urinate to clear
mm-hmm.
that whole process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, typically, if you do it just right, you're going to do that anyway, but it's
mm-hmm.
good to be in the process of doing that just to clear
mm-hmm.
so nothing gets, like, stuck or in that urethra from that process.
Mm-hmm.
It flips the system back over.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same opposite thing of sometimes opening that up to a larger degree of bacteria, which can flow all the way back to the bladder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty nasty if you get that far.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, good. And we're up to boils. I don't know if you want to be bothered with boils.
No, we don't mind. Now, are you speaking of boils, as in sebaceous cysts that have gone septic? Are you referring to boils, as is the necrosis?
necrosis, yeah.
Necrosis of breaking down of the skin. Would it be like a bed sore?
It boils, I guess, more thinking of a toxic boil, something. And it could
be... Wait a second. That doesn't make any sense, darling.
Mm.
Do you have a non-toxic boil?
Yeah. I should say a toxic... a person who's toxic, and some of that toxicity comes out as a boil.
You mean septic?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's the reason we ask, because there's different kinds, because the process of it becomes the breakdown of the dermis.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're bedridden and you don't lay on the, what is it, the lamb's wool?
Mm-hmm.
Or be turned, if you like, in an induced coma or something like that, or in a coma, then you have to be turned. This the basic skin, because of the lack of circulation, breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a bed sore, and those are as nasty as they get. But that's also the exact same process if you come into a place where you have what's called a rhizome, meaning a great big blister, sometimes the size of a silver dollar, that's blood fed, and that's a boil, and that's the one that you have to use. You either have to lance it to open it up, or you have to use a 200th generation antibiotic, because that's what you're to. Used to be third generation, but...
Yeah, right, right. What about, I'm big on poulticing. I would poultice that with some clay.
Well, you certainly could, but I tell you what's just as effective is a really warm compress. And if you really want to draw it, there's a drawing solution. Not Eucerin. There's a pharmaceutical that the women folks used to go to England and get it for their retinol. You can use that as a process too. That will exacerbate it to the point where it will basically come to a head. But then you have different kinds of boils. You have what you call poisoning, and we call it poisoning because it's just one of those fluids. Let's say you get a bump and then it kind of goes septic.
Yeah.
Then you got to draw that. It's more like pus. But you can also have a blood boil. Let's say you take a lick with a baseball, and then you have the big bruise and the blood bubbles up. And then if that gets, you have all the staph on the outside of your system, if it breaks that down, then it will go into a boil. Also, what they call diabetic ulcers. Nasty. Oh, my God. You never. You have never. And they always get them right on the shin or the front of the legs and the lack of circulation.
Yeah.
It's like on the bone. You talk about nasty. The only thing to work with that is to debride it. I mean, literally, scrape it and wrap it.
Right. Is there a disconnect with boils?
You're going to like this one. I'm not happy in my present position.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Every single time, without fail or exception, when you find someone who's not happy in their present position, that's when you have the systemic value of a boil.
Very good.
Very simple. And that covers your diabetes, that covers your the bedridden, you know, thingies. That covers the licks, you know, like with a ball, like what you call a blood blister. See, that covers all of those. Very simply.
Okay.
Hey, Carol, is this total bi? Is this like total biology, but a deeper, fuller,
better?
Yeah, it's total biology without sort of the negative implications of It's almost like when you read Total Biology, it's teaching you how to get the disease because, oh, I've got this conflict, I'm going to get this disease.
Are you going to mention that in your book, or you don't want to single them out? Or?
All right, we'll see.
All right, it's getting near core date, which is core to 2 your time, JW, and we might go over an hour or so. Don't you want to get to bed by 3:30? Just...
Yeah.
We're going to have to ask JW.
Okay. I forgot. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we can go ahead and move on.
But we're good. We're actually very, very... We wanted to get good and settled in the flow before we started this process because it's become a very easy transition. We wanted to be on point. And you notice normally... Once we're flowing a bit, as you can see how beautifully this is unfolding, Carolyn, once we get in that flow, it seems to be much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a crash, and there's not as much disconnect for JW, typically.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel ready to have a reading now?
Sure.
Okay.
Lord suffering Jesus. Mm-hmm. What do you mean, honey? We're just getting greased up.
Getting greased up. So do a little bit more
to finish where you are, and then we can transcend into your reading.
We're right at the stopping point of these bloody, pussy, disgusting boils, and it was very delicious.
What about blisters?
Okay. Go ahead.
Are they not boiled?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to...
Well, now if you take it to the nth degree, what it is, that becomes a protective agency that makes a layer of pus between the dermis and the problem.
Yeah.
But isn't that what a boil is?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Now, we're not talking about the necrosis. Now, we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
Because that's the after the boil.
Right.
The breakdown, well, that fluid, the protection, sometimes can then open up into a deeper thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to include blisters as that protection or a hedge in that process. So why do you get bed sores? Because it normally will blister because of the lack of circulation, you know, because you're laying on it all the time. Well, that becomes a protection that then the end result turns into a bed sore, which actually is not a boil, but it's so close to it you can't really tell the difference.
Right. Bob, you have to mute.
Okay. He's out.
He's down in the kitchen. It's so funny having these headphones on. You know, we can track each other through the house.
Yeah, forget it. Okay. And, you know, it's so much fun in this process. It's so natural for JW. He literally holds the telephone the whole time.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It just seems so naturally normal. I think his arm is just kind of normal to it. And he always does it with the same hand. He doesn't even necessarily change up. And he can do it for just days. And it doesn't seem to be ever an issue.
Well, he told us that he kind of likes to hold the telephone to sort of keep him in reality somewhat.
Maybe. But it's such a simple, easy flow anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's gotten more fluid. It's gotten more clear. It's gotten more together.
Uh-huh.
I think our experience, well, listening to you talk to JW, it seems to be more... cohesive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not quite so jumbled.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I've learned to focus my question and then, you know, just focus what I want to know as well, where I want to go with it, so that...
And it flows that way.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Now, we will be stopping this tape and then starting a new one. Will we just get JW to come back for a minute?
That will be complete.
Okay. I have been very happy with this. Thank you very much.
Very wonderful. Very wonderful. Marvelous. Okay, Mon Amy.
Yeah,
Mon Amy. Maude Amy.
Maude Amy. Who's Maude Amy?
I don't know. That's what I'm calling you now.
Oh, gosh. I've got so many nicknames. I feel like a quadriphrenic.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, so that was good. Unmute the leftovers here.
All participants are now unmuted.
Rather muffled, or could you make out what was being said? Hey, anybody? Jean?
Oh, here I am.
It was good, Bob. It was all clear.
Good.
Seemed a little
muffled to me,
subject.
But yeah. So, did you learn anything from that one? No.
Yeah, the interesting between the blister and the boil. Interestingly, someone sent my boyfriend a picture of his blister this morning. A blood blister.
Well, re-listen to it,
and then
re-listen to it and see what it says. I mean, you weren't able to take all that in, so you got to listen to it again.
Yeah, it's right. Really, really good.
Did you say you liked the previous, did you re-listen to the previous medical sessions?
Not yet, Bob. Are you going to post them?
Yeah, they're on Ian and Bob.
Okay.
There's a regular slot there. It says Dr. Dean and Ion explain the Encyclopedia of Ailments or something.
Oh, good. I'm getting lazy. I'm waiting for everything to appear on Facebook. I should remember to go check there.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, there's a lot of stuff put on there.
Yeah, there's some people I want to send it to. Fucking.
Yeah,
that'll be
easy.
There.
Yeah. So, we got a few minutes left, and I'm not staying around to talk after very long, so what do you want to say?
The bedwetting thing, a lot of people is affected by that. In my world, I could relate to a lot of incidents. And now I know I can suggest them to drink some cranberry juice and grape juice and just wait for them to catch up.
Yeah, what is this ailment? Which ailment?
The bedwetting, where the body contains too much water and the bladder hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah.
So I found it good that Ian didn't say drink less. He said what to drink to help the bladder catch up quicker.
Yeah.
The cranberry,
yeah.
Something in cranberry and something in grape juice.
Good.
Yes. That was very good.
Yeah.
And I was just reminded, Bob, that I don't burn anymore. My skin doesn't blister. I accidentally grabbed a hot handle of a pot just 2 days ago, and there's nothing there. There's, you know, it's been 2 days and there's no mark, no blister, nothing.
You held it for a second or two.
Yeah. Right. I noticed the burn and I grabbed a piece of ice and just held ice there for a few minutes. But, you know, usually it'll get red, the skin will die. It'll scab up. Nothing.
None of that
happened. My finger is normal, entirely normal.
Wow. So it got red for a short time, and then that was it.
It didn't even get red. I felt the burn for just a few minutes, and I put ice cube on it.
Jeez.
And I usually spray it. I'll spray it with Remag. But
hey, listen, write that up, Gene. That's a good testimonial.
I will.
I don't know why, but you're on our products for a long time, and your skin doesn't burn, so that's useful.
No, it's better. It's every year, it my skin repairs itself quicker.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, great. Then just send it to me, and then I'll make sure the grammar's right, and then I'll post it.
Fabulous! Fabulous!
Wow! Thank
Wonderful
you, Bob.
Show.
Thanks, Gene.
Well, have a
Thanks,
happy
Sean.
Forever.
Happy, happy. Happy,
happy.
Happy forever from here on out.
Yep, 2018's already over. We got that down.
Yeah,
And lots of compliments on the attendees on the chat line.
Cool. Aloha, everybody.
They all had a good party.